listener production. We're the smiley face made out of chocolate chips and your fluffy weekend pancakes.
Yummy, 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 yummy.
It's Matt and Alex all day breakfast.
Oh, big day yesterday. Britain announcing that they're going to be dropping all the restrictions, hey?
Bro.
July 19th.
Have you looked at their curve? It's not looking good.
No, mate. I was speaking to a friend from South Africa, right? Dan Corder, shout out to him, hosts 5FM in South Africa, Johannesburg. I said, how's it going? What are you up to? And he said, we're in another lockdown. I was like, yeah, same. And he said, yeah, you know, restrictions are in. Just the lazy 26,000 cases a day.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah.
It is wild. But anyways, July 19th, hey? Well, what do you reckon?
We'll wait and see. We'll do a big special outside broadcast from the London Eye, Matt and Alex.
Do you know
to celebrate.
Because they're saying that they're going to even get rid of the mask thing. I'm not against masks staying. I reckon masks should stay for a while.
Yeah, I don't mind. It's like the public transport thing, standing close to people thing, I reckon it's a polite thing to do.
People really hate masks. Like there's heaps of anti-maskers being like, oh, it's restrictions, freedom, blah, blah, blah. But like, I was just at home the other day for like easily an hour before realizing that I had my mask on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not that inhibiting. I'm like, oh, that's
true, right,
my mask's on.
And they get quite offended by people not wanting to spit their globules on them. you know? Why are you stopping spitting on me right now? How dare you do that?
Give me your goddamn aerosols right now.
I want them all over my face.
I want them in my face. I want them in this cafe. I want them on my damn food. Get them to me now.
Anyway, little rants aside, I hope you're having a good one today. We're going to be chatting to someone whose star is absolutely rising in the culinary game, Matt O'Kane. It is NAIDOC week. And I tell you what, this curry man is going places. His name is Nathan Lyons, and he started the TikTok at Cooking with a Curry. And some of his recipes, some of his gags, some of his no-nonsense skills are helping out a bunch of people. And we got him on the show today because he's just releasing a brand new book, Cooking with a Curry. He gives us some mad feeds, and we cannot wait to chat to Nathan Lyons a little bit later on.
Yeah, we're also going to find out, can Alex Dyson convert me into a dog man? I highly doubt it, but
let's see. I think I've found a way.
And let's kick off with something that I saw in the news just yesterday. Probably deserves to be in Clickfish, but I couldn't help myself. had to use that trigger finger. Let's get started. Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Let's go. Here we go.
Matt and Alex, All Day Breakfast.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alex Dyson, shots fired.
Over the starboard bow.
Some serious beef kicking off.
Well, you have been watching the Friends reunion, making up for the lack of human to check out the people acting as friends. I'm talking Aniston. I'm talking Schwimmer. I'm talking LeBlanc.
Did I tell you I saw David Schwimmer in a restaurant once?
No.
In London? I was having dinner with, you were in London that time. We had just caught up.
Why didn't you take me to see David Schwimmer?
Because you weren't invited to the dinner, mate. I was barely invited to the dinner. I wasn't about to bring my mate who'd been traveling for 4 months through Europe with the world's smallest backpack.
I would have stunk up that dinner. Something cron.
It was with a lot of very like people who I look up to in the comedy industry.
Yep.
Over there, okay. People like Aisling B, who you might have seen her show This Way Up. Catherine Ryan, who you might have seen her show. We spoke
great
to Steve Raskopoulos from her show. Rosine Connolly. It was a lot of great, impressive people who I was too nervous to invite my stinky friend along. Okay, so
that would have been a good sitcom. I tell you
but
what.
Then I was already feeling quite overwhelmed by the quality of talent that was in the room.
If you're looking up, they're looking down. That's the way things work.
Well, they were looking down until Schwimmer walks in. Then they're looking up.
Wow, like a tennis match.
I was looking up at them and they were looking up at Schwimmer. Everyone had their head up. We were like that man at the bottom of the well in Paul Jennings' The Busker. So anyway.
That is why you come to this podcast, for references like that. All right? Goodness gracious.
Okay, so the shots were fired on the Friends reunion because I saw all these headlines about how David Schwimmer's been talking smack about his co-star Marcel, and I had no idea. I was like, is Marcel the coffee, you know, the Central Perks cafe barista guy?
That's Gunther. No, even that's I know right. that, and so I've never watched
like, it. I was like, who's Marcel? And then I read the article and I remembered it's the monkey from season one. So this is what David Schwimmer had to say.
The monkey, obviously, it was trained and it had to hit its mark and do its thing right at the, you know, at the perfect time. But what inevitably began to happen was we would all have choreographed like bits kind of timed out and it would get messed up because the monkey didn't do its job right. So we'd have to reset. We'd have to go again because the monkey didn't get it right.
David's so angry. Still.
So this kept happening over and over, where we're about to do something really funny, but the monkey didn't hit its mark, so we have to start again. It was time for Marcel to f*** off.
Wow, Schwimmer, not happy.
Absolutely serving the monkey in the Friends reunion. And I'll tell you what, Marcel might not have, you know, replied to David Schwimmer's remarks, but Mike Morris, Marcel's monkey handler, certainly had something to say, all right?
Oh, no.
Mike Morris came out, returned serve, thank you very much, to Schwimmer, said, oh, Schwimmer was fine with the monkeys for the first couple of episodes and happy to be there, but people would laugh at the monkey. And I think he got jealous because it wasn't him getting the laughs. He seemed to get a little bitter about them being there after that. And of course, the monkeys didn't like working with him after he turned on them. So he started saying
that. So you think
there
was a bit of jealousy on set with Friends between David Schwimmer and Marcel the monkey?
And they're not just that, but that the monkeys actually only stopped liking working with him. And so that actually hit the mark with all of the others, like Rachel, etc.
Oh, so Marcel could feel the tension, feel mm-hmm. the envy Schwimmer.
Yeah, the monkeys that played Marcel, yes, there's a few of them.
And so then decided, you know what, I'm not performing for this.
They probably all talked in the green room backstage, like, screw this Schwimmer guy. Let's just dog him. But a very cheeky business from the monkeys. And, you know, the way that David's come out and said these awful, truly unkind things about his co-star.
Well, at the end of them, they always have this, no animals were harmed in the making of this. And I go, well, yeah, physically maybe, but, you know, emotions can be hurt too.
Oh, I mean, it's awful to say that this is just another dark day in famous animal actor history. 1999, Alex Dyson, and it's the Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Awards. One Air Buddy.
Oh, no.
A very popular golden retriever is nominated for his second Favorite Animal Star Award in a row.
Well, this is also the second Air Bud reference of Matt and Alex in the last 7 days.
I know. Anyways, up against Babe from Babe Pig in the City, Wishbone from Wishbone, and Salem from the cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
So that is a star-studded category. But that is De Niro up against Streep, up against, you know, DiCaprio in the acting stakes.
Buddy loses out for the second year in a row to Salem the Cat from Sabrina the Teenage Witch, who takes it out both times.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
Truly a dark day in animal acting history.
Robbed.
Died.
What?
Died.
Who did? Air Bud.
It actually died the year before the nomination took place because the movie came out after he died. Anyways.
Oh, did they have an animal actor in memoriam?
I don't know. I haven't seen one yet.
Did you know, if you look up my birth date on Wikipedia, 22nd of June, famous birthdays, Meryl is actually on the birthday, but on death day, the puppy actor from the sitcom Frasier died on my birthday. So there's a little bonus Dyson.
Oh,
dark
well,
day.
Speaking of dying puppies, and I don't want to trigger anyone, but July 12th, 1986, The Adventures of Milo and Otis.
Oh, no.
Comes
no,
out. No. turns into the third most popular box office hit in Japanese movie history. And there is a US version that comes out to also be incredibly popular. Reports, though, after the movie has been released, come out. Some boosted by the Sunday Mail, who reported at the time that an Animal Liberation Queensland founder, Jackie Kent, alleged that 20 kittens had been killed during the production.
I mean, this isn't even verging into comedy.
No, they looked into it. They could not find proof of these allegations.
Phew, because I heard that rumor and it was not good.
But that's not to say it didn't happen. They just could not find proof that up to 20 cats had died during this. But
okay,
so just the very fact that these rumors were circulating is yet another day, dark day, in famous Animal Act history. Kiko the whale, possibly the most famous orca known to man.
But it was Tilikum.
What do you mean, Tilikum?
Tilikum from Blackfish. They're pretty famous.
Oh, no. Kiko was way more famous than Tilikum. Kiko was the whale that got freed in Free Willy.
Oh, all right.
But as someone mentioned in a Reddit's shower thought, which is quite true, they said they used a captive killer whale to play a captive killer whale who got free in a movie but then had to go back into captivity after the film. So it was a little bit rough for Kiko, who was captured in 1979.
Oh.
In captivity until and all the way through during filming of Free Willy in 1993. Finally released at a cost of $20 million in 2002.
Into the wild?
Yes.
Whoa.
And died the next year from what was assumed to be pneumonia. So in captivity, its whole life, free for a year, dies of pneumonia.
I mean,
Dark day.
This is just—is it just me, or is every day that an animal has to act a dark day? By the sounds of this,
I think we're learning something about our favourite animal actors. Here's a nicer one.
Okay, well, let's
Hercules
let's
the bear.
See, because this. This isn't as funny as
hey,
I hoped.
It's in the title. This is Dark Days. Hercules the bear, adopted from captivity when he was born by a Scottish wrestler. Okay.
Oh my God.
Now, this Scottish wrestler trains the bear, Hercules the bear, up to be quite good at performing and then puts him in a Kleenex commercial where Hercules the bear escapes and lives in the wild for 24 days. But was only used to eating cooked food, so lost almost half his weight. But when they found him, they were able to nourish him back to good health. And then in 1997, while filming a BBC television documentary, Eyewitness Bear,
what?
Hercules fell over and slipped a disc in his back, marking an end to his career. There you go. Hey, look, this is the reality, man.
Well, genuinely dark days in animal acting history. They say work with children and animals. And the weird thing is they say that because it's inconvenient for you, not it's really cruel on them.
Well, look, let's just say that Marcel not hitting his mark was not the worst thing that could happen. All right, so we should all be thankful for that.
Coffee?
Yeah, coffee.
A seventh coffee never hurt anyone.
Oh, I feel a buzz.
All right, Matt O'Kine, it is time to talk to a rising star of the Australian culinary scene. Nathan Lyons is on TikTok. Cooking with a Koori is what you want to search for. And I tell you what, this man has over 200 recipes that have just been pumping out. Doesn't mind throwing a bit of shade at the Brisbane Broncos as well, which I don't mind. Matt, you may not be in love
Come
with that
on.
One. But he's just got a new book, Cooking with a Koori, budget-friendly recipes from the TikTok star. Nathan Lyons is his name. He's joining us right now. G'day, Nathan.
G'day, guys. How are we all?
Oh, mate, we're very excited that your book has come out now. It is called Mad Feeds, Cooking with a Koori. Mate, tell us about this sudden rise to fame on TikTok before we get stuck into the actual recipes. What, I mean, when did it sort of click for you that this was going to be something that you would take off?
Man, it didn't. And I don't think it still has. Hey, like, I uploaded my first video in September last year of my bully beef. And, you know, it was just a bit of a giggles sort of thing. And, yeah, it's just kind of rose really fast. And, you know, I haven't really come to terms with it and grasp it. Like, it's just, everything's just happened so fast. It's amazing.
Was that the first video that launched? Like, when we went, you must have noticed, man, people are starting to watch this thing.
Yeah, like, that first video, like, it got, like, 300,000 views or whatever. I'm like, damn, that's a lot of people.
It's a lot of mouths to feed, Nathan.
And they kept, like, they were throwing recipes at me and, oh, you should try this and you should try that. How about some this? And I'm like, all right, yeah, I know how to do that. So that's just how it rolled on. They kept throwing stuff at me to do and I just kept doing it and here we are.
Man, it's amazing. It's seriously incredible. And I think it's that relatability. It's the grassroots kind of cooking that people can connect with, because I have got some cookbooks at home. And, mate, they're making, like, seaweed gelatin balls atop, like, tapioca things. I'm like, man, I literally, so many recipes I go, I don't even know where to get the ingredients, let alone to make this.
Yeah, look, most of the recipes in my book are just fairly basic sort of stuff. Yeah, and, yeah, back to grassroots sort of stuff, like curry sausages, anyone can do, damper, you know, fry bread, boil-ups. It's just real simple, wholesome stuff that we had growing up. And, you know, with the videos that I do on TikTok, I'll put soundtracks to the back of them that also, you know, ignite the memories. So, like, Charlie Pride's on there, you know, country western, you know, we grew up on that. You know, there's only two types of music, that's country and western.
That's it, man. And tell us about where your love of food started. You mentioned growing up there, the nostalgia. Did the love of food start early for you and love of cooking? Were you helping in the kitchen when it came to that side of things? Where was the origins of this?
Well, growing up, my mum had a rule of that the cook doesn't clean in my house. So I always made sure I was the cook. So I hated cleaning up. So, you know, cooking for the family wasn't an issue. My nan, my aunties, my uncles, you know, my dad, my mum, they all jumped on and showed me stuff. And it kind of evolved into me late teens, and along come YouTube and opened up a whole new world of stuff. Like Adam Liao, who put a quote on the back of my book for me. I was, you know, growing up in my 20s, I was watching him doing stuff. And I went, that's cool. I'm going to try some of that. And it's just spawned on from there, really.
Because, I mean, let's talk about some of the ingredients that you do work with. I promise that I've never seen anyone, I don't have a single cookbook that uses Devon in it, in my house, right? And, well, I mean, there's an element of snobbery to a lot of these shows and a lot of the books that come out, isn't there? I mean, tell us about what it is, what it feels like to be able to show the food that you were eating when you were growing up in your books.
Man, that's awesome. Like, there's like 20 Devon recipes in my book alone. you know, there's the, from the basics going from just going from the classic Devon cheese tomato sauce sandwich on fresh white bread. And, you know, I top it off with like Devon curry. It's just, you know, that's just what I do. It's funny. It's what I love doing. It's what my kids love. And it's what the community love. You know, the Indigenous community, you know, love Devon so much that when the Rugby League knockout was played in Dubbo, I think it was 2015, I think, Dubbo ran out of Devon and chicken.
Whoa.
Like, IGA, Woolies and Coles ran out of Devon, right? Because there was a knockout again. The mob were there. So.
That's so incredible, man. 20 recipes on there. And you also have managed to get a bunch of recipes using something that I've been very familiar with growing up. Whenever the roast vegetables went in the oven, the Keen's curry powder came out of the cupboard, got a little sprinkling over that pumpkin, and it turned it up nice. And you are now living the dream. You've put enough of the curry powder in your recipes that the big dogs themselves have decided, Nathan Lyons, we're getting on your train. Tell us about the Keen's Curry sponsorship.
The Keen's Curry partnership, man, that was, I've been stirring them up for months. You know, just stirring them up, just, you know, not as much as I stir those Broncos fans, but I was, you know, just, I still a simmering nice stir. And yeah, they finally bit the bullet and joined in with a partnership. Yeah, this is the Indigenous dream. It's magical. It's awesome.
Oh, that's so exciting. Also, we can't look past the fact that you have a very similar name to an Australian cricketer. Has this been a sense source of frustration, you know, when interviews, etc. before?
I've been reaching out to him, mate. I'm like, Nate Ryan, come on, bro. I want him to sign me book for me.
Yeah.
And I want to make a little video. So I've sent him messages. I've sent Cricketing Australia messages. You think one of those fellas can get back to me? It's just rude, bro.
We almost share the same name. Come on, Nathan. Get in touch with Nathan, please.
Yeah, we'll try and go through our channels, Nathan, and try and get Nathan Gary Lyon.
I've got some mad video ideas, like, you know.
He's got it. I tell you what, you keep growing your followers on TikTok the way you're tracking, Nathan, and he will become begging to be involved in one of those. I can guarantee you that. But I'm just going to say, I love this recipe book so much in that finally it is something where I am able to live by it, because I have come up from a heritage of finding the bargains at the shops. My father bought 92 servings of turkey because of... spending a total of $8 the other day and packed my freezer. I'm still making the way through it. And you're able to feed a family of eight for $8. Can you tell us a couple of secret tips on those people you're looking through the shops to try and get those bargains when it comes to cooking dinner for a big crew? Man,
definitely look for those bargain specials. The yellow sticker specials. They're always a nice hit. Yeah, you can have a little bit fancy for a couple less dollars. At Woolies, the chickens go down to like $5 around 8-9 PM. So if you're hanging out for a bit of a feed late at night, got some dollar bread rolls, chicken. You're set, man. It's the iconic Australian can't be stuffed meal. Yeah, Woolies roast chicken, bread rolls, and a coleslaw. Yeah, if you've got a hot chip place nearby, get some hot chips and smash it, man. It's awesome.
What about some of the messages you might have received that your work has? How has it impacted people?
Man, look, it's been really heartwarming. Like, I've had people who've been in hospital. Message has been going, hey, you know, you've got me through this operation just from your humour and your food. Like even today I had someone go, look, my son's really excited to receive your book. You know, he's only 9 years old and he's starting to get in the kitchen and cook, and he's really excited to get your book because he wants to do some of your recipes, and that's awesome. That's what I want to do, man. I want to get the kids back in the kitchen. You know, I'm teaching my kids on how to cook, you know, maybe just how to boil water or how to cook toast properly. But it's those ground basics that they need to, and the foundations that they can build upon. So it's awesome, man. It's really heartwarming.
That's it, dude. And it is NAIDOC this week, celebrating all First Nations culture, putting it out there. And the tagline of this year is Heal Country. And can you just tell us a little bit about what the impact of sharing a meal with someone can have on that healing process?
And look, it doesn't matter what religion, culture, country you come from around the world, sharing a meal is the same thing across the globe. It's the same thing. People come together to share a meal. Doesn't matter if you're from the high end of town or the low end of town or somewhere in the middle. You know, everyone gathers for a meal. You know, it's the same as our people used to cross country to share a kangaroo or, you know, to share, you know, an emu that they got. It's definitely important. And, you know, it's not that hard to be kind. You know, whether you're feeding the homeless or just buying them a cup of coffee or, you know, buying a sausage roll. Yeah, it's not the heart. It's, you know, the sharing is the healing. It's making people feel good. That's what food is about. Yeah, it's anonymous across the world, man. It's awesome.
Well, Nathan, look, we're so happy that the book is out now, Cooking with a Koori. It's out today, so hit up your bookstores, grab a copy.
Nathan Lyons, all the best with it, and we'll chat to you soon. Thanks for having a yarn with All Day Breakfast.
Hey, you're up, boys. Thanks for having me, hey.
Order up. Just how you like it.
Perfect. All Day Breakfast.
I was chatting to a friend the other day, Matt O'Kine.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about their dog, right? Dog owner. I'm like, ooh, it's lucky they're talking to me and not you.
Blah, blah, blah. My dog's the best.
No, none of that. But it is the best for them because prior to getting the dog, they did an online quiz, which is like, which dog breed is right for you? And it's sort of, it really twigs something in me because I'm like, you don't like dogs, famously. Okay. But maybe that's because you haven't got the right dog breed for you. Maybe you're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. You know, it's just that you haven't searched properly.
Or a square pug into a hound hole.
Into a hound roll. Yes. Yes, look, very good. But the point being is like, well, how about right now on All Day Breakfast, we can try and align Matt with the perfect breed for him by going through one of these simple online quizzes, asking you the questions that you've probably just dismissed out of hand because you've met one dog that wasn't the correct breed.
Look, I'm going to tell you right now, if it's bigger than a cat, I'm not interested. I want my dogs to be as much like a cat as possible.
Well, one of the questions is regarding size, but I thought if we jump into it now, we can go through the quiz and find out which breed of dog is right for Matt.
How deep are the questions? Do the questions get like? Is it all kind of?
First question is: what's your annual salary?
The second question: when was the last time you cried? Whoa, these questions are getting deep, man.
Goodness me! It could be the dog from Marley and Me. No. Okay, here we go. Question number one: dog breed selector for Matt O'Kine. Which phrase best describes what you're looking for in a dog? A cuddle friend who doesn't need tons of exercise, sporty, high-energy dog, family-friendly dog, a loyal companion, or an agility whiz.
Oh, I'm going to say a cuddly dog that doesn't need much exercise.
Perfect. What size are you considering? Small, medium, large? Small. Any size is fine. I prefer small dogs.
Small to medium, but I think small.
Well, I've got small to medium here.
Well, how medium is medium? I don't know what a medium-sized dog is. Like, I know how big a medium coffee is.
They really need it like those pizza tins on a wall when you go to the pizza shop and there's a small and there's a family. You get to really picture that. Okay, what comes closest to your ideal way to spend an hour with your dog? Okay, picture this. Tossing a frisbee or a ball at the beach, meeting up with others in a dog park, hanging with friends at a cafe, taking a walk together, or snuggled up on the couch.
Oh, it's either snuggled or with a frisbee.
It's frisbee at the beach or snuggled. They're kind of the polar opposite of each other. So if you had 1 hour and you could only pick one activity, what would it be?
On the couch.
How smart would you like your dog to be? A, smart enough to keep me on my toes. B, responsive, but no smarter than I am. Or C, doesn't matter. I mean, they don't have the option for dumb as a doornail, but look, you got to pick out of those.
Well, that's smart as I am.
I'll put responsive, but no smarter than I am. How much do you exercise? Frequently, occasionally, or for me, it's a walk to the fridge.
Oh, at the moment, one of the best things about lockdown is not feeling guilty about my gym membership. I'll tell you that much.
Okay, I'm going to put for me, it's a walk to the fridge. Next question. What kind of amusement park ride best describes the energy in your home?
Is this a joke? What the hell is going on?
A, a carousel. Not many surprises. B, a Ferris wheel. Up and downs, but fairly predictable. C, a log ride. Boisterous and noisy, but not out of control. Or D, a roller coaster, sometimes a little too exciting and unpredictable.
I'm going to go with E, the time I went on the Gravitron and vomited. I'm going to say the log ride.
Yeah, a bit boisterous. Sophia keeps you on your toes.
She does.
How much does fur bother you?
A lot.
A, I'm oblivious to it. B, I don't mind a little fur. Or C, I hate the idea of hair on my clothes or furniture.
Oh, you know what? Growing up, we used to have like couches that Dad would put newspapers on, like all over the couch.
But like you were a budgie. Cats.
Yeah, because of the cats. They'd leave all this hair everywhere. I hate hair. I hate it.
Well, maybe hair hates you. That's why it's trying to leave you. What's your best guess at describing your future dog parenting style? All right. I'm more comfortable being a buddy than a parent. Or I'm prepared to set boundaries as needed, but want to spend time playing with my dog too.
This is tough because I want to be cool dog dad, but I also...
Cool dog daddy.
But that I've also
like
seen
an MSN name from the late 90s.
Cool Dog Daddy. But I've also is that a TikTok? Have they got that yet? I've also seen what bloody your mates Reese and Kyron's dog gets up to the amount of emergency trips they've had.
Oh yeah,
because it's got its bloody mouth wrapped around remotes and chockies and everything. So I'm going to say, I'm going to draw the line. I'm going to set some boundaries.
All right, sounds good. And the final question, Batokide, for the dog breed quiz, how much does drooling bother you? Is it A, not a bit?
Oh, my God.
B, not my favorite, but I could deal with a little, especially if it's the right dog. Or C, I really don't like it.
I'm just picturing that huge dog. Do you remember Turner and Hooch?
Yeah. I'm thinking Beethoven when it's on the bed and it yes, shapes its head exactly. And just drool flies everywhere.
And just looks
everywhere.
Like a milkshake going out. Yeah, no. That's what I picture anytime I think of. I hate drool. I hate it.
Are you ready to see your results?
Please, I want to Google it right now. What have I got?
Your top five personality matches are number one, a cheapoo.
What's a cheapoo? How do you spell it? C-H-I-P-O?
C-H-I-P-O-O. Cheapoo. Compact, energetic, and playful. Cheapoo mixed breed dogs inherited some of the best qualities from their poodle and chihuahua parents.
Oh, I love it. I want a cheapoo.
See? The next one is Key Leo. Playful, lively, and sweet. Key Leo mixed breed dogs inherited their best qualities from Maltese and Lhasa Apso parents.
How do you spell Key Leo?
K-Y-I. Hyphen L-E-O. It's interesting. Your third option is a Basset Hound. The aristocratic Basset Hound is an easy keeper with a charming personality. But I feel Basset Hounds with the droopy lips, that's drool city, I would have thought.
Do you know, yeah, but you know what? I used to absolutely love droopy.
Yeah, true.
Do you remember droopy?
Yeah.
He used to talk like this. Hello.
I do remember. The other one is the Bordoodle, which is the Border Collie and Poodle. Or the final, which is a bit of a curveball, the Bergamasco Sheepdog. Affectionate, intelligent, and uniquely coded, the Bergamasco Sheepdog is a dog eager to bond with their humans.
Okay, do you know what? It hasn't convinced me that I want a dog, but I'll be damned if that's not the most accurate pairing of dog. If that's not the best dog Tinder I've ever seen, then I don't know what, because I am swiping right on all of these little puppies, I'll tell you that much.
Well, yeah, the Chihuahua Poodle, the perfect match for Matt O'Kine. If you want to try it yourself, dogtime.com is just the place I found it, /quiz, /dog breed selector. Look, it's stunningly accurate, as you can see, and I think it was that question of what amusement park ride best describes your house, Matt O'Kine. I think that was where we nailed it right there.
Yeah, the log ride.
And the good thing is, as a dog owner, you'll be picking up logs every day. So congratulations. We look forward to seeing you and your brand new Cheapoo. Oh.
Well, Alex Dyson, we've been talking weddings this week, mainly because we spoke to Andy yesterday and he was getting pumped up and ready for quite a momentous moment in his life.
The biggest question you'll ever ask someone.
Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, he'd already asked his partner to marry him, you know, that old chestnut, right? What he was really stressing about and really focused on was the big question when it came to the ceremony, and that was asking his best man to be his best man.
He's got a best man in mind. He is pretty set on them, even though when he was a best man at a wedding, that dude is not his current choice. So
look, vouches, doesn't it?
A little bit of a best man babushka doll going on here. But we wanted to give him a little bit of a precaution going in just to make sure that when he does ask the best man, there are a few boxes that he can tick that make sure that his best man is on his best behavior. Because, I mean, it's fair to say, Matt O'Kine, the best man is sometimes the worst man.
Yeah, we asked you, when has the best man been the worst man, or when has the bridesmaid been the fried maid? And Pinny got in touch with us. A couple of messages came in at matt.n.alex. Pinny got in touch, said, at my brother's wedding, the best man was way too smashed to come to the ceremony, but showed up at the afters.
Worst man.
That is such poor form.
Worst
too
man.
Too wasted to go to the actual wedding, but turns up at the reception.
It's like a group project turning up when you get your marks back. I tell you what, so rough. Beth got in touch saying, I was a bridesmaid at a wedding where the father of the groom's speech started with, thanks everyone for coming tonight. but the only person who should be coming tonight is the groom. Now, when you're starting with an orgasm joke, that is pretty tough stuff, Matt.
That's my 2004 Raw comedy opening line.
That's right. Oh, I mean, man, that was a stinker.
Yeah. Wow. Anyways, at least you know what you're marrying into. Do you know what I mean? You're like, well, this kind of humor is going to be in my baby's bones.
It's very rough stuff. We've also got Nick who's given us a call from Brizzy. G'day, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks, Nick. Now, your best man was the worst man right at the altar.
Yeah, it was quite funny. So we chose Blake to be the ring bearer and best man for our wedding. And come to the time where he's handing the rings over, my wife, Tessa, she goes, "This isn't my ring."
Oh, no.
At the altar.
She's muttering. She goes, "Nick, this is not my ring." And our celebrant, Michael, he was like, "Blake, have you got the other ring?" And we're all looking around, but everyone's laughing and cacking themselves. And his look on his face, I hope you guys put up a photo, he's gobsmacked. He doesn't know what he's doing.
He gave you each the wrong ring.
He obviously gave me mine to give to her.
Oh, right. So you're suddenly putting on your wedding ring onto her and she's putting hers onto you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, at least it wasn't like an ex-girlfriend's ring or something like that she left at your house one time or something.
Yeah, okay, great. Well, at least, and everyone got their rings and it's happily ever after.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But like, we just basically said, you had one job.
Yeah. And then, come on. That's it. Oh, well, thank you so much for the call, Nick. We appreciate it. Luke has also given us a ring. Luke, giving us a ring, the right ring. You had a best man that was the worst man.
Yeah. Shout out to my mate, Braden, who'll be listening, long time listener of your podcast. So he recently broke up with my wife's maid of honour. So it was a bit awkward, and like we're all friends and still are friends, but he thought it'd be funny to make a little joke about how he's had no luck in love and he's only dated like bad women and he's had bad relationships, and he made the joke and kind of looked at her and thought it'd be funny, but no one laughed. And
oh, like, mate, that's because it doesn't sound funny, Luke. That's why no one laughed.
Oh, poor Braden.
So he meant it in a laughing matter, but no one found it funny. She got up, all upset. She wouldn't do her speech. Her parents came up to him afterwards and was like, "We're disappointed. We thought you were a nice bloke. Like, this has changed everything of you."
And
a big thing.
Oh, Braden, so I'm sorry. If you are listening, I'm sorry, Braden.
How long before the wedding was the breakup, could you say, approximately?
Maybe a couple of months.
It's still pretty fresh, isn't it?
Yes.
It's not too bad because they were like, we're in a large group of friends, so they'd been friends for a few years before dating and then they were friends after and it was all mutual. So we thought it'd be a funny joke, but no one found it funny.
Oh, I can't believe that she got upset and then wouldn't do her speech. That's dramas. I wish there was cameras there. That is honestly an episode of some kind of, reality show.
Well, it's a wedding. There might have been cameras. Did you catch this on camera there, Luke?
No, we didn't. But thinking about it, I think she got her karma because he got his karma because recently he had a long-term new girlfriend who they broke up together recently, but on the same day his ex-girlfriend got engaged.
So
the last laugh, they broke up on the same day. One broke up and the other one got engaged to their new partners.
Oh, that stings. He's probably lying in bed by himself, scrolling his phone, sad, lonely, just sees the yes, he asked and I said yes post.
Can't wait to spend forever with this one. Oh, that's a killer. Well, thank you very much for that one, Luke.
Shout
we appreciate
out to you, Braden.
It.
I hope you're doing all right, mate. And thank you for listening, Braden, if you are listening.
Yeah, feel free to slide in the DMs, Braden, and get on the show and talk us through what was going through the head.
Yeah, or if you want to get one back on your friend Luke for dobbing you in, then you find some story that we can talk about him. All right, thanks, Luke.
Thanks, bye.
And thank you for listening to All Day Breakfast today. It has been an absolute delight hanging out. We'll be back with you with another big episode tomorrow. And Matt O'Kine, I'll catch you then.
Bye-bye.
That's it. The All Day Breakfast kitchen is closed. Got a story we need to hear? All the links are at mattandalex.com.au. listener.